Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McCray.
Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Becky McCray. This week, we would like to start with one of your questions, straight off of our listener line. And here is that question.
Hi, my name is Tony Wright. I live in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I'm looking to set up a small business associated with making custom fit golf clubs for people. And I guess I've been listening to your show for a couple of weeks now and really enjoying it. I was looking for any insights or suggestions you had on the kind of small business that I might set up. I know there are different types, like, you know, sole proprietorship and all those kind of things. I'm not totally familiar with it yet. So I was looking for any input you might have on what might be the best sort of a business model there. Trying to suggest any references or resources I might look at. Thanks again. Bye.
Thanks for a great question, Tony. There are a great many resources out there to help you determine which type of business structure you want to work with. And here are two from our team of experts. First of all, I would recommend that you go to willitfly.com. I've talked about their site before here on the Great Big Small Business Show because they will ask you questions interactively on that site and then walk you through just the information that you need. So if you have done some research and have an understanding of part of the information, they won't bore you and make you go back over stuff that you understand. They will tailor the information to just what you need. I find their information to be quite thorough, and their questions, just the questions themselves, teach you a lot or make you think a lot about what's going on. I did go by and specifically look at their information on startups, and you'll find that under the heading of legal off of their front page, and they do have terrific in-depth information about the different legal forms, and they'll walk you through starting with some basics on an overview of all the different kinds of legal forms. So highly recommended for doing some research. And that is willitfly.com. The second resource is from our team member Steve Rusinski, who shot me a quick email back on this to suggest that when it's time to form your business, that you may want to try mycorporation.com. This is an Intuit-owned site, I understand, and they will help you to form your legal entity, and that's mycorporation.com. So thank you, Steve, for the lead on that website. We also have some information from new contributor Tony Clark, who is going to go over four different types of business structures. Tony?
Hello, I'm Tony D. Clark from Success from the Nest and the Creative Venture, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about business structure. Now, when it comes to the structure for your business, there tends to be lots more questions than answers. Believe it or not, most times, the simplest approach is the best. Now, I'll be focusing here mainly on home-based businesses and solo person companies, but most of the information will be universal. And a standard disclaimer, I am not a lawyer, nor do I want to be one, so use your best judgment and your mileage may vary. So let's start with the sole proprietorship. This is the easiest and the most common way to structure a business. Essentially, you just start working. So if you're, say, a freelancer or an independent contractor, you're a sole proprietor by default. Now, you may need a fictitious name filing or a business license depending on what type of business you're in, but this is all pretty basic stuff. Now, a lot of folks can get caught up in the whole business structure thing before they've even thought through many of the other aspects of their business. So even if you plan to move to a more formal structure, it's often best to start off as a sole proprietor just to get up and going. And I always vote for simplicity when you're starting out. Now, the downside is you can be personally liable for business-related issues. This means that if your business defaults on a loan or gets sued, for example, the creditor can come after your personal stuff, such as your house. But when it comes to getting going quickly and simply, the ease of a sole proprietorship may outweigh any risk. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, you have an S corporation, which is essentially a regular corporation with a special tax status. You basically get the limited liability of a corporation, but you pay your taxes like a sole proprietor. Profits pass through to the owners, and you report them on your personal tax returns. The S corporation itself doesn't pay any income tax, but instead files what's called an informational tax return to report each shareholder's income. Now, this differs from a regular corporation, where the company pays the taxes on the profits, and the owners pay taxes only on money they get, like salaries and bonuses. But the S corporation still has some pretty strict requirements, like you can't have more than 100 shareholders, and the corporation profits can only be allocated in proportion of the shareholders' interest in the business, and this can be kind of limiting. A third option, and a popular alternative to the sole proprietorship or S-corp, is the limited liability company, or LLC. And it gives you the corporation's protection from personal liability, and it also gives you the pass-through tax structure of a sole proprietorship. And running it is much easier than running a corporation. Now, in all states except Massachusetts, you only need one person to form an LLC. And there's no maximum to the number of members you can have, but it's easier to manage with a small group. The LLC offers a pass-through tax structure like an S-corp, but it can be structured in a more flexible way. To create an LLC, you begin by filing articles of organization and create an operating agreement. And this outlines the members' rights and responsibilities and their percentage of interest in the business and the share of the profits they get. The benefit here is that with the help of a good attorney, it can be structured in almost any way, making it ideal for a small business who may have some specific needs in how they run things. One thing you may hear a lot about regarding the protection an LLC or an S-corp offers is what's called piercing the corporate veil. There's often some confusion from business owners about the protection that a legal entity offers. If you set one up and then do nothing to maintain it, you can still be personally liable. You need to run it as a corporate entity. You have meetings and minutes and records and annual reports, or you run the risk of losing that status. You're also liable for your own actions regardless. You can't do something in the name of the company, like slug a competitor at a chamber function, and not be personally liable. Oh, and by the way, hitting a competitor, not a good practice. But talk to your attorney about what you need to do to maintain that corporate status. So these are a few options when it comes to structuring your business. If you have any questions, talk to an attorney. There are also many resources online with sites like NOLO.com and FindLaw at smallbusiness.findlaw.com. There are also some great books and filing kits that you can use for simple setups. Hopefully, I've helped clear up some questions regarding business structure. And remember, in order to have a business structure, you have to have a business. So don't get so bogged down in all the legalities and concerns that you forget your ultimate goal is to have a successful business, not just a business structure. I'm Tony D. Clark, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Tony. If you have any questions for our team of experts, then call our listener line at 206-666-3768 or just leave them as a comment on our website at gbsbs.com. And we reserve the right for any of our team members to come up with more information and drop in a later segment in another show to provide you with more information as we think of new things. Our next segment today is going to be part of our upcoming series of the next few weeks. In the next few weeks, what we're going to do is a little different than what we've done in the past. Instead of covering only one single topic in a show, we're trying to coordinate between everyone's crazy busy holiday schedules and still bring you wonderful information for your small business. So we're going to be covering a wide variety of topics all at the same time. For example, the rest of today's show will include Heidi Miller's contribution on the one thing that you wish someone had told you about your business before you started. Phil Gerbyshek has a book review on the generosity factor. And finally, John Swanson wants you to light up someone's world. As promised, Heidi Miller is up with the one thing that you need to know before you start your business, and it's that you can't do it all by yourself.
Hi, this is Heidi Miller, shameless self-promoter and corporate spokesperson for hire, coming to you today live from a small business, a coffee shop in Madison, Wisconsin. So yeah, those sounds you hear in the background are people having intelligent conversations and the espresso machine running. And Becky, thanks so much for the great topic this week. The one thing I wish I'd known when I was starting my business? Well, there are so many of them, but one really does stick out above all the others. And that one lesson quite simply is, you don't do it alone. The myth of that entrepreneur who goes out and does everything by himself and makes millions of dollars, it's a myth. It doesn't actually happen. At least not that way, because in my experience, building a business is building a network. Now, the other misconception I had was that building a network was basically going around and, well, riding other people's coattails. Ah, there's that espresso machine. And somehow being sort of a weaselly person and weaseling my way into their circle of friends so that I could somehow become more influential. Well, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it? Because it's not. That's not the way business works. It's building a network of people that you like and you care about and you respect. I mean, yeah, I started calling people in the trade show industry and in all different industries, asking them questions, finding out about their businesses. And the ones that I thought were sleazy or slimy and maybe really, really successful, but I just plain didn't like them that much. Guess what? I didn't ask their advice again. I didn't hang out with them. I hang out with people I know, like, and trust. I ask advice from people that I know, like, and trust. And this is actually, if I may go on a minor rant for a second, something I discussed in episode 59 of Diary of a Shameless Self-Promoter regarding Barbara Ehrenreich's new book, Bait and Switch, The Futile Pursuit of the American Dream. And she rags an awful lot on networking groups and career coaches and things like that. And the issue I have is that she didn't really throw herself into the networking groups. And the other issue is that she was networking and working with people that she really didn't like or respect. And I suspect that in her own real career, she's networked with hundreds, thousands of people. And if she didn't like them, she didn't network with them. Networking is really just hanging out with people you like, learning from them, and letting them learn from you. Boy, if I'd known that going in. Hey, Becky, thanks so much for giving me the chance to say that. To find out more about what a corporate spokesperson is, check out HeidiMillerPresents.com, spelled H-E-I-D-I, MillerPresents.com, or the Talk It Up weblog at talkitup.typepad.com. Back to you, Becky.
Thanks, Heidi. We're glad to have your input. Our next segment, Phil Gerbyshack is going to do a book review for us. Now, not your usual school kind of book report, but a review of a terrific book called The Generosity Factor. Phil?
Hi, Phil Gerbyshack, the Make It Great Guy here, here to share with you a great little book that I recently listened to called The Generosity Factor by Ken Blanchard and S. Truett Cathy. You might have heard of Ken Blanchard by the 1 Minute Manager series that he put out some time ago that was just little vignettes of interesting things that you can do. 1 Minute Manager, 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey, and other books that Blanchard put out that were really interesting, real short, and easy to understand. And then S. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, the company that really defies a lot of logic with being closed on Sundays, even though he's in malls that get high traffic on certain days, he decided that he's going to keep Chick-fil-A closed on Sundays. So, I thought, what can I learn from the generosity factor from these two guys who seemingly have very different spins on management and leadership, and how can I apply this to small business? So I listened to this book over about 4 days this past week, and it's only 2 CDs. It only took about 2 hours, but my commute isn't that long, and I didn't listen to it every day. But it was a great book. The moral of the book is that we live so we can give. And I thought, oh boy, well, in small business often I don't have much money. In fact, my business right now I'm funding solely from my full-time job. And I'm not I don't have a lot of money to give. So I thought, well, how am I going to give? So in this book, I actually learned that there's four things that you can give, and certainly money being one of them. But really, the four big things are four T's that we all can learn from, the first being time. We can give of our time. As small business owners, that time can be spent with nonprofits. It can be spent developing our associates. It can be spent on ourselves. But time is certainly one of those things that we need to be generous with. The next thing is talent. Talent is something that we have in abundance. Now you say, well, Phil, that's pretty arrogant to say. But I can tell you that we each have a unique gift or unique gifts that are our talent that we can share with just about anybody if we so choose. Okay, so the next T is treasure. And this may be where the money comes in, but really, treasure can be sharing your faith. It can be sharing your learning. It can be sharing of, again, your time, if you treasure your time. It can be sharing of really anything. And the last thing is touch. And this is really my favorite one because I'm a hugger. I like to let my associates know that I care about them. So I, from time to time, will give them just a big bear hug. Or even smaller, with some of the guys on my team, I'll give them a high five. Or could be a handshake. Those are all ways that I can touch my associates. Because really, when you think about it, those four things, time, talent, treasure, and touch, are all things that we can learn from and all things that we can give. We can see how others give their time, talent, treasure, and touch, and we can do the same. The Generosity Factor by Blanchard and Kathy was just a great book that reminded me that I have much more than I think I do and that I need to be even more generous with this. So with that, I recommend you pick up the audio copy of The Generosity Factor by Ken Blanchard and S. Truett Cathy to learn to be more generous with your time, talent, treasure, and touch. And for more things from me, you can always find me on the web at www.makeitgreat.org. Make it a great week, and thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Phil. For our concluding segment this week, John Swanson has been thinking about how we can light up someone's world. John?
Somebody lit up my world today, and I want to tell you more about it, because I think he can help light up yours, too. This is John Swanson, the Entrepreneurial Chicken. And today I was out looking for light bulbs. Not just any light bulbs, but a light bulb that would let me do a better job with the video shooting that I do on the side. I've moved into shooting video for stuff at church. Love it. But I've always had a problem with lighting. It just doesn't look right. And so I decided it was time to do something about it. And after calling around to a couple of places in town, I realized that the only way I was going to find the light bulbs that I needed were to go to a place where all he sells is light bulbs. It's a hole in the wall. I pulled up behind the building today, and the sign says, hours by appointment or by chance. So I turned the knob and took my chance. And when I walked in, a guy named John listened to what I needed, said, oh, I've got a couple of bulbs that might help you. It took me to those and then started talking to me about video lighting. Had I thought about, did I know about, did I understand how to, had I ever thought about using, what about these? He gave me a seminar in lighting. And in particular, using fluorescent light. He showed me the different types, talked to me about different temperatures of bulbs, showed me how I could do it far more cheaply than I had imagined, and then said, let me look in back. I think I might have some took me into the back of the store and gave me four bulbs to try. I hooked those bulbs up tonight, and it allowed somebody from our congregation to interview some moms who have preschoolers about how they might happen to find peace around Christmas time, which is a pretty tough thing to do if you're the mother of a preschooler. Those bulbs that he gave me and that training that he gave me made those videos light up, which is in turn going to affect a whole bunch of other women as they try and figure out how to find peace in a pretty hectic world. John lit up my life by giving away knowledge and giving away bulbs. Now, what's going to happen is I'm going to buy a whole bunch more bulbs from him that are going to be even better and even more precise. And I'm going to talk to a bunch of other people about where they can find the light bulb that they need. That's what you're about, trying to figure out how you can give away knowledge so that by giving away knowledge and by giving away encouragement and by giving away your expertise in appropriate ways, you can buy loyalty and you can buy word of mouth. How you do that, I don't know. Ask Heidi and some of the other people who do a great job on the Great Big Small Business Show. But as a consumer of what you all do, I can tell you it makes a huge difference. I hope that you can find some light in your world this week. Somebody like John, who works for Source Lighting in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This is John Swanson, the entrepreneurial chicken. I'm too chicken to do what you do, but I'm glad that you do it. And I'm especially glad for John tonight.
Thank you, John. And thank you to all of our contributors and to you for listening. We'd love to have your feedback. You can call our listener line at 206-666-3768 or visit our website at gbsbs.com. And as always, have a terrific week. Thank you for listening.